Series, Holding Fast. If you would, go ahead and open your Bible to two places this morning. John chapter 3, Mark chapter 10, if you want to put a marker. Your stringy dally. John chapter 3. Mark chapter 10 are our two references this morning. And a few weeks ago, I started a new series talking about every church is every church, every believer. And based on what we read when Jesus stands up in a synagogue, or he actually sits down in the synagogue and begins to read the scripture, and he begins to read out of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news." Everyone say the gospel's good news. The gospel's great news, isn't it? He has anointed me to preach the good news, take the gospel to the poor, and he gives a list of five different things there: to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are captive. How many of you know when you set someone at liberty, you empower them to live a new life? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers us to live a new life. And so I'm still stuck on the first one, which is he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, to the poor. And so we're talking about salvation again, because this is the foundation. If we're not getting people saved, then we're not being the church. I'll say that. If we're not getting the people saved, then the church has lost its course. The church has lost its vision. The church has lost the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples of them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the Great Commission. And so the Lord, I wanted to go back again and touch one more time on how important it is to understand that unless we're preaching salvation, teaching salvation, walking salvation, we're not part of what the kingdom of God is about. We've got to make this high priority. We come to the book of John, chapter 3. And there was a man, it says there, of the Pharisees, whose name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night. Now you have to wonder, ask yourself, okay, here's a prominent Pharisee, a prominent religious leader, a man who prays, a man who goes to church. The Pharisees were very proud of the fact that they tithed. And they were very proud of the fact that they fasted. So this man, Nicodemus, prayed. He went to church. He tithed. He fasted. And yet he's coming to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." Now that's a huge statement right there for a Pharisee to make. That he's acknowledging that Jesus was sent from Heavenly Father God. "For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Good point, Nicodemus. We'll just call him Nick. Good point, Nick. And Jesus answered him. Does your Bible say like mine does? Jesus answered him. Nick didn't ask him a question yet. But Jesus, being the Son of God, being the Almighty God, all-knowing, omniscient, answered him, I love it, and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless a person gets born again. And now comes the question. Now Nicodemus is going to ask the question. Verse 4. "How can a man be born
when he is old, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered him again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." We just celebrated Mother's Day a couple of weeks ago. How many of you know that's being born of water? And that's our first birth. That's our natural birth. But Jesus says, unless you are born of the Spirit, amen, you're born of those living waters, you cannot enter or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus then tells him, verse 7, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Come on, Nick, you're a smart guy. You're a Pharisee. You're one of the best of religious leaders there is, and yet you're confused about this issue? "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes and where it goes. You don't see the wind moving. You don't see how the wind functions, where it comes from and where it goes, and yet you believe in the wind." So everyone who is born of the Spirit. What a great story to understand that religion does not save you. Religion doesn't get you into the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of good religion. I think East Texas, listen, when I first moved to East Texas and saw that on the front page of the Tyler Morning News, the front page is the scripture of the day, I'm like, okay, you're not in San Antonio anymore. We are in the Bible Belt. And in the Bible Belt, there is a lot of good people. But the truth, there's a lot of good people that are going to hell. Hello? See, here's the thing we need to realize. Just because we pray a prayer doesn't make us a Christian. Just because somebody had walked the aisle one time in their life didn't make them a Christian. And yet so many people think that you, again, do all these religious things, you must be a Christian. Again, good old Nick, he goes to church every time the doors are open. He prays. He tithes. He fasts twice a week. I don't know about you, but I fast, but it's not twice a week. I fast in between breakfast and lunch and dinner. And most nights. Nicodemus fasted twice a week. Come on, folks. This guy, you can't get any more religious and spiritual than this guy. And yet he was going to hell. Can we get that in our hearts today? The good people are going to hell because they haven't been born again. Because being born again is more than just a prayer. Being born again is more than just walking the aisle. Being born again is a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and to follow Him all the days of your life. I love, those of you who know Robert Morris, he's one of my heroes in the faith. As a matter of fact, I get to go this week to a pastor's conference at Robert Morris. And Robert Morris' right-hand guy, I mean his most right-hand personal guy, is going to be our speaker next year for our anniversary. Yeah, and so I'm really, really excited about Pastor Kevin coming and being with us for our anniversary and being with our leadership team on Saturday night and spending some time inputting with our leadership. So anyway, Robert tells the story, and you may know this, but if not, he's a little boy, and he's going to, his parents decide, you know what, we need to start going to church. So the parents went to the church, start checking it out. It's a pretty good church. So they start, Robert, it's time for you. You're old enough now. We think you need to start being in church. So Robert starts going to church, and after a couple of weeks, he realizes this Sunday is different.
Because they're getting ready to serve refreshments.
And so here comes the usher down the aisle, and they start passing out the refreshments. And Robert's like, well, that's a little piece of bread, but I bet a couple of those will make a good snack. And his dad said, No. You can't take those because you're not saved. Robert's like, well, that's not fair. Well, a minute later, the ushers come back by, and this time they're carrying grape juice. Robert's like, I love grape juice. And he reaches out to grab him a couple of grape juices. No, son. You can't have that because you're not saved. And so after church, Robert's like, Dad, okay, I don't get this. This ain't right. I want to be saved because I want some of the party goods that they're passing out at church. So his dad begins to explain, and as Robert puts it, he's real blunt about it. All right, son, here's the thing. You pray a prayer, and if you pray a prayer, you get to go to heaven. But if you don't pray this prayer, you go to hell, and you will burn in pain forever. What do you want to do, son? Hello? How do we pray, Dad? Because I don't want to go there. And so at 8 years old, he prayed a prayer. But he wasn't saved. Hello? And I'm not saying young children can't make a profession of faith and get saved. I'm not saying they can't do that at a young age. But for him, it wasn't real. It was just going through the words. It was going through the motions. And then by the time Robert reached 13, he began to struggle with drugs and alcohol. 13. He began to got in a crowd of friends. And, of course, his testimony is just hilarious when you listen to it. But the bottom line is, just because you go into a chicken coop doesn't make you a chicken. Hello? Just because we go to church, just because we do these religious things doesn't make us a Christian. You see, when you really believe in your heart of what this salvation has done, that it is the process of being changed. How many of you know this? Now, guys, you can't probably comment on this. Women, it's a process to give birth. It's a process. Let me tell you what. It is a process for spiritual birth. And not everyone is ready at the time. And you're like, well, how come everyone don't want to get saved? Because not everyone's ready yet. It's a process. Now, maybe you meet some folks and immediately their heart is ready and they're ready for salvation. But there's some that they're not quite ready yet. And again, it is a different type of belief. How many of you know you can believe, but yet until you believe it in your heart, you can believe in your head all you want, but until you get it from your head down to your heart. How do I know this? Because Romans chapter 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, where? In your heart. If you believe in your heart, then you'll be saved. June 30th, 1859. June 30th, 1859. And I don't know if I got this in the PowerPoint. I don't think I got it in my sermon notes. Go to the screen, find the file that says Blondin, B-L-O-N-D-I-N. June 30th, 1859. A man decided that he is going to tightrope across Niagara Falls. He's going to tightrope across Niagara Falls. And so he does it, and they stretch the cable out, and it dips. They said they dipped down about 60 feet. The cable had that much. But anyway, it was so easy for this guy. And he played it up like he was going to fall and everything. And then he laid down at one point to take a rest. And then he takes him 14 minutes to go all the way across Niagara Falls and to come all the way back. The bands are playing. The people are clapping. Great, this is awesome. Someone just walked across Niagara Falls. How many of you believe, he said, that I could probably even carry a person across Niagara Falls? Nobody. Not one person. And then finally, in order that he couldn't get a volunteer out of the audience for let him carry him, finally he carries his manager. Do we have that picture? It's on the desktop. On the desktop, bottom left. And there's a picture of him carrying his manager. Listen, there we go. There we go. A lot of people said they believed. But were they willing to trust their life in this man's hand? Not a one. Okay, let's bring it back home. A lot of people believe in God. But how many people are truly trusting their life with Him? See, that's salvation, church. It is more than just a trust in your head and belief in your head. It's a belief in our hearts. And again, this being born again, and Nicodemus didn't understand it, that in order to see the kingdom of God, he needed to be born again. We get this conversation. I told you to turn to Mark chapter 10. We get another conversation of a young man coming to Jesus. He's going to ask the exact same thing. Now, as Jesus was going out of the road, one came running, knelt down in the dirt, and asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What do I need to do to be saved and inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except that is the Father, that is God." Then Jesus said, notice this, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to them, "Teacher," and he started to get excited, "Teacher, I have done all these commandments. I was good." Everyone say, "I was good." "I was good at all these commandments since I was a little boy. I haven't had any problems with the..." And again, Jesus, what did Jesus give him? Commandments 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. "I've been good at these commandments since I was a little boy." Then Jesus, and I love this verse. Come on, church, because when you truly love somebody with the love of God, you're willing to tell them the truth in love. It's not easy telling someone that they have fallen short. As Romans says, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God." It's not easy to tell people the truth. Notice verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, and say it with me, loved him. Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said, "One thing you lack. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come." And this is, for whatever reason, it's never jumped out at me before. "Take up the cross." Take up the cross. Church, there's only one cross. And that's the cross that our Lord and Savior Jesus died upon. Take up the cross and follow me. Man, this is good preaching this morning. I'm glad to be back in the pulpit. I thank you, Dallas. Man, I've heard nothing but unbelievable things about Dallas filling in last week and preaching and ministering. Thank you so much, Dallas. But I am glad to be back preaching the Word of God. We were sitting there in our cabin, and it was a glorious morning, and Melissa's like, "You wish you were in church this morning, don't you?" I said, "Yes. I just love being with you so much." "Take up the cross and follow me." And notice his response. "But he was sad at these words and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions."
Why didn't Jesus talk about commandments 1, 2, 3, and 4? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. For no man can serve two masters, for he will love the one and hate the other. No man can serve mammon and God. This young man had a problem in his life. He wasn't ready yet to take up the cross and follow Jesus to work out. Again, Scripture says, and I believe it's accurate in why it said it, that work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a process, church. Giving birth is a process, and being born into the kingdom of God sometimes can be a process. Now, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was a young little rat. I don't know how young. I can't remember. Let's put it that way. Mom, 3, 4, 5. Who knows? Young. Because we had vacation Bible school for 2 weeks. And every day at vacation Bible school, the gospel message was preached. And so I know I was there at vacation Bible school. Even if I was in my crib, I was in vacation Bible school. Because my mom was teaching vacation Bible school. That's how I know without a doubt I was in vacation. So when I heard Sister Bell, and here's how Sister Bell did it. She said, now listen, Jesus is coming back. And she had this huge magnet, and she put it over a piece of wood. And if you're not saved, you ain't going up. But if you're like this nail, and she put it over the nail, and that nail went, hink, you could hear it through the whole sanctuary, the sound of that nail hitting the magnet. Dink. Now, what do you want to be, this piece of wood, or you want to be this nail? You want to be left behind, or you want to go up to heaven? I want to go to heaven. But it was real. It was real in my life. I knew it was real. When I, whatever age it was that I gave my heart to Jesus, it was real. I was changed. I still talk too much, but I was changed. My daughters got out my report cards and the other day, and they're like, Dad, still talks too much. Do you know what? That's a process too. And finally, my mom and dad, they came to me and they said, son, one of the fruit of the Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You don't have to talk so much. And I began to pray. Mom began to pray with me. Lord, help him with his self-control. If you'd see my eighth grade report card, I actually got some S's and E's. It wasn't straight N's and U's. This young man was not ready to take up the cross and follow. Nick was not ready because he thought his good was good enough. That he had done, that he had done all these religious things. Salvation requires, I'll close with this. And I want you to go back to the book of John. Let's finish reading the book of John. Let's go to the end of the story there of Nicodemus. Let's go to those famous passages in John 3:16. See, salvation requires a complete commitment, a complete trust in your heart. Amen? That you are going to turn your life over to the Lord. I love the way Paul says it, for it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's when you know. That's when you know that it's real in your heart, isn't it? For it is no longer I that lives, but it is Christ that lives in me. John 3:16, would you quote it with me and say it with me together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And again, listen, Nicodemus is still, he's still listening to Jesus talk. This is still chapter 3, same conversation. Jesus is broadening it out for Nick to be able to understand how easy it is. For God loved you so much, Nick, that he sent me, Jesus, into the world. The writer says to be a propitiation, a payment for our sins. Amen? We have to come to the place where we realize that we were a sinner, that we were lost without God's shedding of his blood for the remission of sins. Amen? There is no forgiveness without the remissions of sin, we're taught in the Bible. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. Amen? Amen. There's no condemnation in those who believe. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because we're born with a sin nature. We were born into the world with a sin nature. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and that name is? And this is the condemnation, for that the light has come into the world, and men loved light, loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We never get a Nick bowing down and saying the prayer or acknowledging, confessing, making that confession. But I have to believe, as smart as a man as Nick was, I just believe in my heart that somehow he got it and that he believed. And it was a different type of belief than his educational upbringing. It was the type of belief that changed his life. Everyone say it with me, forever. We're changed today, church. And I think it's good for us to examine our salvation and examine that experience. Because again, some people really, again, here's what happened to us last year, and we begin to do this. We begin to look at our spiritual growth, and there were many who said, Pastor, I was saved and baptized, but you know what? I think I want to be baptized again. And I'm like, awesome. And so we went out to the lake. We went out to Bob Sandlin last year. And man, we just dunked them. I mean, it was awesome. Not that their salvation wasn't real, and not that their baptism wasn't real, but they felt they'd come to a new part in their life where they just wanted to do it again. And because they just felt that was the right thing to do. And I think it's good for all of us from time to time to look at our salvation. But we know this. Once you are saved and truly saved, it is so stinking hard to lose your salvation. Some people make it so easy that I can be saved today and tomorrow I'm not saved. It doesn't work like that. For the person who finds themselves walking in darkness rather than in light all the time, see, we were pulled out of darkness. That's part of the salvation process. Our thinking changed. Our walking changed. Our speech, everything about us changed. And if there wasn't a change, then we didn't get saved. Robert said, listen, he went to these retreats, and they would say, okay, here's my life for God. And they had little banana split boats and Dairy Queen. They all pushed them out. And Robert's like, and his boat burned. All the boats were going, they had a lit up cross, and all the boats were going, shh, and his boat went, shh. And, of course, they had a guy in the youth group, Robert, you know, the old one who's always talking. Robert, your boat's going the wrong way, man. It's not going towards the cross, you know. And for him, it wasn't until he got into, and you know, if you've heard his testimony, at the Bates Motel, of all the places, at the Bates Motel, and I forgot the room number, he got to his knees and said, okay, I'm not, God, I know you have a salvation for me that will be so real. And as soon as I allow you to take control of my life, all these desires and all these things will just go, every chain be broken. And that's what happened. But it wasn't until he was 19 years old and he finally got to the place where he's like, I've been playing the church game. and I've been going to church and I've been doing this, but you know what? It is not yet real. Lord, make it real in my life. And he reexamined his heart, and in that hotel room, he gave his heart to Jesus. And then he said, there was no doubt. Amen. There was no doubt because of the freedom I had, because of, I mean, it was a complete washing, amen, of the blood over him that just completely cleansed him from all his unrighteousness and all his sin and all his past. And I mean, victory came immediately. And so I think it is good for us to look at our salvation. Stand with me this morning. Father, we thank you this morning. Scripture declares that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we just thank you for salvation. Lord, if there's one person here this morning that's not sure about their salvation, Lord, I was reading my Bible this morning. You said today is the day of salvation. Father, if there's one person here this morning that's not sure that they're going to heaven, not sure about their relationship with you this morning, Holy Spirit, I thank you for right now just speaking to their hearts. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, as you've been talking, I've been thinking about my salvation, and I'm just not quite sure, and I want to make it sure. Would you just slip your hand up for me? Because I want to pray with you. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Anyone else want to put your hand up this morning? Put it right back down. Now, I said it's not about the prayer, but I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then I want everyone to repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for your faithful love in my life. I receive my forgiveness today. And I receive you in my heart afresh. Thank you for changing me from the inside out. Thank you for filling me with your Spirit. And I declare today, I will never go back to my past. But I only look forward to my future with you. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a praise this morning. You talk about a party that goes on in heaven when one person comes to the Lord. That's exactly what happened as we were praying that prayer. Father, thank you so much for the work of the cross today. Lord, thank you for sealing this word. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. May he be gracious unto you. And may he give you opportunities this week to share the gospel, the good news, and the light of your love. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.